Please take your Bibles and turn to the book of Ephesians chapter 5. As I mentioned a few minutes ago, we're going back to the subject of husband or wives submitting to your husbands. The title of our sermon is as it has been for the last two times we've been on this, and that is Christ and the Spirit-filled wife. We're going to be reading chapter 5. And we're going to start with verse 15 through 24. But our focus this morning is going to be on verse 24. This is the word of the Lord to you, His people. Ephesians chapter 5, 15 to 24. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Therefore, do not be unwise, but understand what the will of the Lord is. And do not be drunk with wine, in which is dissipation, but be filled with the Spirit. Speaking to one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Giving thanks always for all things to God the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of God. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. For the husband is head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we do thank you, Lord, for your word. We thank you, Father, that you have not left your people groping about in the darkness, wondering how we should live before your face. But Lord, you have made it clear to us. You have instructed us, and you have given us your Holy Spirit that we might understand and know your way. And so, Father, we pray that you would do that work even as your word is preached this morning. Show us, Lord, your way and help us by your Holy Spirit to obey with gladness. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I want to review just a little bit because it's been a few weeks. We took the last 2 weeks to prepare for the Lord's Supper and to come away from the Lord's table. So going back to the first two sermons in this section, I want to review a little bit about the Spirit-filled wife and submitting to her husband. So in the first sermon, we talked about the Spirit-filled wife first submitting to her Lord Jesus Christ. For that is where this command comes from. And without doing that, you won't be able to submit to your husband in the way that the Lord calls you. And so that is a key to this whole section, is first submitting to the Lord Jesus Christ. We also talked about submission, that it meant to put oneself under another's rule or leadership. And then that submission would be evidenced by attitudes of the heart. And while there may be more, we went over four of them, and they were respect your husband, obey your husband, help your husband, and be modest with and toward your husband and towards the world. In the second sermon, we looked at the picture of Christ and the church as a means of showing the wife and the husband their roles in this relationship. And we saw that the wife is to see and acknowledge and to live out submitting to her husband because he is the head of her. As verse 23 says, for the husband is the head of the wife, as also Christ is the head of the church. And so we focused on that. We focused on the fact that the husband is the head, and that this idea comes from Genesis chapter 2, when God created the woman from Adam. And that this is a picture for us, we find, in Christ being the head of the church and the Savior of the body. And that's what the wife is to be looking at. And that's what the husband is to be looking at as well. How does Christ act as the head of the body? How does the church act as looking to Christ as her head? So there are things for both husband and wife to look at. There are things for those of you who are not husbands or wives who might be someday to be looking at and saying, that's what I might be getting into. Husbands, this is the kind of wife you should be looking for. And wives, this is the kind of husband that you should be looking for as well. Someone who would act as Christ does, as head over the church. And as head of the church, Christ is the authority over the church, but he is also responsible for the church. He is responsible for building the church, sanctifying the church, making her holy, loving her, and saving her. That's what the head of the church does. And so there is the picture for the husbands. And that's also what a wife should expect from her husband, who is her head. Just like illustratively with the human body, the head is in charge. The hand does not tell the head what to do. The head is over the rest of the body. And so that's part of this illustration. When Paul talks about the head, that's where he's coming from. And we, the church, isn't it true that we depend on our head? And we expect our head, the Lord Jesus Christ, to take care of his body, the church. That's why we pray. That's why we go to God, because we are dependent upon him and we know that he is the one who cares for us. And so this is the picture that Christ gives us. And now in verse 24, as we come to this third part of Christ and the Spirit-filled wife, Paul gives us another similar picture, but different. It's almost a repeat one, but he changes the focus from Christ as the head, as the picture, to now looking at the body. The wife is to look at the church. Verse 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. So the body of Christ, the church, is now the picture that we are to be looking at, the subject that both wife and husbands and all the rest of the church are to look at to see how this relationship is supposed to unfold and how it's supposed to be living out before us. But to get the picture of this, we can't just say the wife is subject to the husband as the church is subject to Christ without knowing what that means, without knowing what does it mean that the church is subject to Christ. In order to understand that picture, husbands and wives and the rest of us, we need to know what that is. And I want to show you that in two ways, how the church subjects herself to Christ. And it is the Spirit of God that points us in these two ways. And the first one would be that it is exclusively to Christ, exclusively to Christ, and it is in everything. And we see those things in verse 24. We see the Spirit-filled church, and therefore the wife, will submit to her head exclusively. That's our first point. The second point is the Spirit-filled church, and therefore the wife, will submit to her head in everything. You notice both those words start with the letter E, so that can help you to remember that. Exclusively to Christ, and everything to her head. Everything to Christ and her head. So let's look at the first point. The Spirit-filled church, and therefore the Spirit-filled wife, will submit to her head exclusively. Now, the word exclusively is not in this text, and you know that as you read it with me. But as we read the first section of this verse, 24, therefore, just as the church is subject to whom? There's not a long list here, right? There's not a long list of things or organizations or agencies or people that the church is to subject herself to. It is exclusively to Christ. And that's where we get this from. The church, therefore, just as the church is subject to Christ. Exclusively means in a manner limited to a single person. Whatever it is you're doing, if you're doing it exclusively, you are doing it exclusively to one person or to one group. And so when we read the church is subject to Christ, it means she is only subject to Christ. Now the world doesn't believe that. The world wants the church to submit itself and to subject itself to their culture, to their trends, and to their government, and to their rules. We face that all the time, and that's why we are reminded and called all the time as a church to be solely and exclusively committed to the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is our King and He is our head. We don't have two kings. We don't have two heads. We have one, The church has one king and one head. And you notice also that the Spirit of God does not tell us all the people or all the groups of people or even ways of thinking about this issue that we are to subject ourselves to. He simply tells the church to whom they are to subject themselves. And not only that, but it is just stated as a fact that the church is subject to Christ and no one else. No one else is our king. No one else rules over us. It is the Lord Jesus Christ who does that. This is just the way that it's stated here is just stated as a fact, as something that is true. And this means a couple of things in the way that it is stated. Whether the church thinks this is true or not, it is true. And parts of the church do not. Parts of the church do not think that we are only subject to Christ. But Paul states it here, the Spirit of God states it here as a truth. It is indicative of the relationship the church is in with Christ. And you may recall what Ephesians chapter 1 verses 15 to 23 talk about. It is Paul's prayer for the church. So I want you to turn there with me, Ephesians chapter 1, just a few pages back. And we're going to read from 15 to 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of His calling, what are the riches of the glory of His inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of His power toward us who believe, according to the working of His mighty power, which He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at His right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion, and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. And so here we see that Christ Jesus has been made higher than every other power. And He has been given the right seat to be seated at the right hand of God. And that God has done this for the church. He has placed Him here for the church. He has put all things under His feet and gave Him to be head over all things to the church. You see, in placing Jesus Christ over all things, God did that for the church. And the church is subject to Christ. And so we don't look to the world. We don't look to the world to teach us how we are to follow our Lord. We don't look to the world to teach us how we are to live before Him. We have one head. We have one king. And it is Jesus Christ. And He has earned this position by dying on the cross. By paying for the sins of His people, God has given Him the name that is above every name. God has given Him the position that is above all positions. He is the King and the head of the church, and He is our exclusive head. And so we, the church, are independent of subjecting ourselves to anyone other than the Lord Jesus Christ. That is our calling. To look to Him only, to follow Him only, and to subject ourselves to Him only. And so for any other man or group to claim to have authority over the church would be to invade His rule. It would be to say, scoot over, Jesus. Somebody else wants to sit on the throne. And that includes us. We don't have the right to move Jesus over and say, we're now going to do things our way. We are to subject ourselves and submit ourselves to Him because we are His body and He is our head. William Symington, in his book, Messiah the Prince, states it in a beautiful way. And I want to read it to you in speaking about Jesus Christ as being the head of the body, the church. And he says this, He is the head of the body, the church. The doctrines the church believes and professes are to be His teachings. The ordinances are to be the ones He instituted. The laws to be obeyed are to be His laws. The faith, our worship, conduct are all to be sanctioned by His authority. Even his ministers have no legislative power, but are to minister as his subordinates. They must preach Christ in his gospel. They must pray in his name. They must baptize in the name of the Lord. They must present the bread and wine as the body and blood of the Lord. They must administer discipline according to the word of the Lord. And they must teach men to observe all things Christ has commanded. To Christ and Christ alone is who the church is subject to. Now the word subjection here is the same word as the word submit that we see in verse 22. So in verse 24 where it says, let the wives, or just as the church is subject to Christ, that word subject is the same Greek word as the word submit. Wives, submit to your own husband. So why is it translated different? In verse 22, this word is employed as a command, something to be done by the wife. And then in verse 24, the same word, but translated subject, is employed as an indicative. This is the truth. This is the current situation. This is what God has done. He has purchased the church with Christ's blood, and the church is now subject to Christ the King. So, wives, you are to submit yourself just as the church is subject to Christ, its head. So while the wife is to be submitting herself as an active thing to do, the church here is pictured for us as already doing it, as we're already subject to Jesus Christ. We are his subjects. And so the wife is to look at that and see the picture that God has given her to submit to her husband, just as Christ is over the church and the head of the church, and the church is subject to her head, so are the wives to be to their husbands. And just as the church is not to be subject to other men, to governments, to its own members, to current trends in politics or culture or whatever it might be, philosophies, just as the church is not to be subject to them, but only to Christ, wives, you are to be subject to the rule, care, and responsibility of your head. And you only have one head in this relationship, as far as what we're talking about here. Other husbands are not your head. Other women are not your head. Trends and culture and philosophies are not your head. They are not your the person that you are to submit to, but just your husband, as this comes from the Lord. Now, about now, I hope you are thinking about this, and you should be asking, but what about these other things I'm to submit to? What about submitting to the government in civil matters? What about submitting to the elders of the church? What about those things? Do women submit to those things? And the answer would be yes, and the reason why. Because the Lord, your Lord, whom you are submitting to, has called you to submit to those things in that proper relationship. So those are subordinate submissions that come out of submitting to the Lord as the head of the body. These are all roles that the church finds itself into and subjects themselves to as Christ rules in their hearts and lives. But we must remember that Christ is the head of the church, and the church is subject to Christ. And it is not up to us whether we will submit ourselves to Christ. If you are in the church, you are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. We may disobey him, we may deny him, but we are still subject to him. And if you belong to him and you're in the church, the Lord will show you that you are subject to him. He will discipline you as one of his subjects. If you're in the church as a baptized member or a communicant member, you are subject to the Lord Jesus Christ. The whole world is subject to him, but especially in our context here, it is the church. And so we as a church and as individuals, we must be asking ourselves, am I submitting to my King, my head, the Lord Jesus Christ? The leadership of the church must be constantly checking with the Word of God to see if we are conforming to the words of Christ our head. Asking ourselves, are we observing all things whatsoever God has commanded us? And if we are not, then we as individuals and we as a church, when we see these things, we must be repenting and reforming from them, from our sins. So wives, like the church, is subject to Christ. You are subject to your husbands. That is the role and the position that God has blessed you with, solely to your Lord and solely to your husband in the Lord. So that takes us to this exclusive part of submitting to your husbands, just as the church submits exclusively to Christ. Paul says, let the wives to their own husbands as well. But how far does this submission reach? How far does it go? What does it cover? We've already mentioned it regarding the church, as I read from William Symington's book there, that the church is to observe all things whatsoever Jesus has commanded, which is the command that Jesus gave the apostles to go and teach all over the world, to teach them all things whatsoever He has commanded. So how does this apply to the wife and her husband? Well, verse 24b, the last part there says, so let the wives be, as the church is to Christ, to their own husbands in everything. In everything. What's the scope? What's the reach of this submission? The reach, the scope, what it covers is everything. So we go there to our second point, the Spirit-filled church, and therefore the wife will submit to their head in everything. Just as the church is called to submit to her Lord in everything, so is the wife called to submit to her husband in everything. Now that word everything is a very big word, isn't it? And it covers everything. There's no question about what this word means. It does mean everything. But just as there are other words in the Bible that must be interpreted by other scriptures, so does this word everything require that of us. I remember years ago that I went to a Reformed conference up in Indianapolis, Indiana, and the preacher was preaching on Romans 5:18, which states, therefore, as though one man's offense, judgment came to all men. All men, here's the word I want you to focus on, resulting in condemnation, even so through one man's righteous act, the free gift came to all men, resulting in justification of life. That word all can be a little bit of a sticky situation. It's like everything. During the question and answer session, somebody asked, what does that word all mean? Because we know that not all men are raised to justification of life. Yes, all men are condemned in sin, but not all are raised in the resurrection to be with the Lord forever because they have been justified through the work of Jesus Christ. So what does all mean? Well, the preacher answered, the word all does not mean all the time. Someone once said, context is king. So in this passage here, in Romans chapter 5, verse 18, the word was used twice here in two different contexts. The word was used for all men are sinners, but then it was also used for all who would be justified. But we know from the other scriptures, and this is the point I'm trying to get across here, that from other scriptures, we interpret this scripture. So the first word, all, is applied to each and every human being who has ever lived. For Romans 3:23 tells us, again, for all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. But the second all in Romans 5:18 is applied to only all of those who believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 3:22 tells us, even the righteousness of God through faith in Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe. For there is no difference. Verse 26, to demonstrate at the present time His righteousness, that He might be just and the justifier of the one who has faith in Jesus. So all have sinned, and all who have faith in Christ Jesus will be justified. The word all, same word, two different contexts and two different applications. And so then does the word everything mean everything? And the answer is yes. It does mean everything in context. And must the wife then submit to her husband in everything? The answer is yes, in context. So here in the principle of scriptural interpretation, known as the analogy of faith or the analogy of Scripture, must be applied, which means the Scripture interprets Scripture. As no part of Scripture can be interpreted to be in conflict with what is clearly taught elsewhere in Scripture. Otherwise, God would be writing to us in confusing ways and be giving evidence that He Himself is confused. And God is not confused, and His Word is not confusing. So the word everything here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 24, in its immediate context means, first, everything in the Lord. And we get that from verse 21. Wives, submit to your own husbands as to the Lord. Wives are called to submit to the Lord, and this would mean in all things. That is, the reasoning that Paul is using here as a means for explaining submission, it starts with the Lord, and how do we know what the Lord wants us to do except according to His Word? So then this gives us a clue to what everything means here. It starts with the Lord. And the Lord and His Word have authority over the wife. But that's really important to understand what's going on here. It's important for the husband, especially to understand what the word everything means here. And let me say this, that even if the husband did not want his wife to submit to him, she still has the obligation to do so because the Lord's authority overrides the husband's authorities. The wife's first allegiance is to her Lord Jesus Christ. She submits to Him in everything because she is subject to Him first, just like the church. Husbands, I would say to you, remember, your wife has a Lord. And His name is Jesus. And that is why you should never call your wife, command your wife, ask your wife to submit to you in a way that goes against the Lord Jesus Christ. So in everything, she is accountable to the Lord Jesus. And you, husbands, are accountable to make sure that you do not call her to do something that would go against the Lord Jesus Christ and His instructions. She cannot submit to her husband over her Lord. Submitting to the Lord comes first. And the Lord does not give the husband rights to cause his wife to sin. Beware of that, husbands. Because Christ would never do that to the church. And you should never do it to your wife. Ephesians chapter 4 reminds us there is one body and one spirit, just as you were called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So on one side of this coin, there is the warning to the husbands to beware not to call your wives to do something that would be sin. And on the other side of the coin is for the wives to be submitting to the Lord Jesus first and foremost. And then that would enable her to also submit to her husband in everything. There is one Lord. The Lord of you is the Lord of your wife. And she is accountable to Him just like you are. Jesus is the head of the church. Jesus would never call His church to sin. And so husbands, be careful of that. Wives, be mindful of that. The Westminster Confession of Faith, chapter 20, on Christian liberty and liberty of conscience, paragraph 2, teaches us this way. God alone is the Lord of conscience and has left it free from the doctrines and commandments of men, which are in anything contrary to His Word, or beside it in matters of faith or worship. So that to believe such doctrines or to obey such commands out of conscience is to betray true liberty of conscience. And this teaching is supported and held out in Scripture by Romans chapter 14, verse 23. But he who doubts is condemned if he eats, because he does not eat from faith, for from whatever is not from faith is sin. In that particular application, Paul is talking about meat being offered to idols. Some could do it and some couldn't. But the fact was that they needed to be able to do it by faith, convinced of God's word. And if not, it was sin. James 4:17 also speaks to this same. Therefore, to him who knows to do good and does not do it, to him it is sin. So as wives submit to their husbands, they should expect that their husbands would not cause them to do something against their conscience, causing them to sin, and thereby causing the husband to sin as well against her and their Lord. When a couple gets married, they do not check their conscience at the altar. They do not change lords. They both have the one Lord, the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord is the Lord of their conscience. Wives also need to be careful not to be claiming conscience issues of faith when they are really issues of opinion. So there is care that needs to be shown on both sides of this. So when it comes to opinion, and there cannot be an agreement reached, then if the husband decides to have them go in a certain direction, then it is upon the wife to follow her husband and submit to him. But, oh husband, what a burden you bear to be the head of the wife. First Peter 3:7 lays upon you a very important command to live with your wife with understanding, giving honor to the wife as to the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. So husbands, yes, you are the head of your wife. Wives, you are to subject yourself to your head, just as the church subjects itself to Christ. But there are important responsibilities on both sides of that. Husbands, don't call your wives to sin. Wives, your Lord is the Lord Jesus Christ. Husbands, you have a great responsibility to live with your wife with understanding and care and giving honor to her as the weaker vessel and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Wives, you are to be exclusively in your human relationships submitting to your husband exclusively in everything in the Lord, in everything. Church, the picture that the Spirit of God lays out for us here that wives and husbands are to be looking at is the church subjecting itself to Christ. We are subject to Him. We can be good subjects or we can be disobedient subjects. The question is, are we fulfilling that picture? Are we giving wives a good picture to look at as the church? A picture that a wife is to be looking at. A beautiful relationship of Christ and the church. So let's remember this. Wives, exclusively to your husband in everything. In the Lord. Amen. Let us pray. Father God in heaven, we live in an age, Lord, where the things that I have just preached from your word are not readily accepted in the world, and unfortunately in a large part of your professing church. And so, Lord, we have these temptations around us to subject ourselves to public opinion, to subject ourselves to the world system. We pray, Father, that you would help us as a church to subject ourselves exclusively and solely to you and your Son, Jesus Christ, Him alone. Help us, Lord, in our weakness as we seek to do this. to bring glory to you and to Jesus. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.